Anybody need a program?
You take your sermon outline out and turn to Matthew, the 10th chapter. We are talking about what preaching does. In this chapter, the 12 apostles have been called unto Him. You'll remember as soon as they were called unto Him, you remember immediately. What did He send them out to do? Go on a mission trip. Okay? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about what you take with you. Don't worry about any food. Don't worry about any extra clothes. Don't worry about a bedroll. Just go. Amen? And so in the midst of that, we look at 11 verses that talks about what's going to happen when they go. So I am in Matthew 10, verse 5. Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. Says, these 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Listen to verse 7. And proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. The King James says, and as you go, thank you, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verse 8, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You receive without paying, give without pay, acquire no gold or silver or copper for your belts, no bag for your journey or two tunics or sandals or a staff. For the laborer deserves his food. So when you go out to do the work of the Lord, you can depend on one thing. That the sustainer is going to take care of you as you go. Amen? Now, He changed these rules at Pentecost. And we'll look at that when we come to it. No bag for your journey, verse 10 says, or two tunics or sandals or a staff. For the laborer deserves his food. Now listen to this, verse 11. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, if they want you to be there, if they want to hear the gospel, let your peace come upon it. If it's not worthy, let your peace turn to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Now listen carefully at the reading of verse 15. And here's how I want to preface this. Listen to me. It is a very dangerous thing to sit under the preaching of the gospel and not do something with it. It's a very dangerous thing to hear the gospel presented over and over and over again, the work of Christ on the cross, and doing nothing with it. Because listening to it and doing nothing with it without repentance and belief will not save your soul, nor will it save you from departing this life and going to hell. You must take action. Verse 15, truly, truly, I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town or for you. You remember Sodom and Gomorrah? God destroyed it because of their overt sexual immorality and sinfulness. But He says to people who hear the gospel and reject it, it will be worse for you than for Sodom and Gomorrah. That's what the Scripture says. So we're back to your sermon notes. Matthew 10:7. So what we're looking at this morning is what preaching does. Last week we looked at what preaching is. Today we're looking at what preaching does. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Luke 9:2 says, and He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Mark 1:14-15. This is really the verse that explains it. Now, after John was put into prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe the gospel. And let me just tell you, I'm slack sometime in doing this. This is the way that word really reads in preaching. Repent and believe the gospel right now. Once you hear the gospel and the requirement of the gospel, your requirement is to believe and repent right now. Last week, we looked at what preaching is. The word is kerygma. That's in the Strong Concordance. It's a proclamation. It's preaching. It's like a herald that went into this town and announced something big that had happened. Well, let me tell you, something did happen 2,000 years ago, and nothing so big ever happened before, nor has happened since, nor ever happen again. Christ came, lived a perfect life, kept God's law, was crucified on the cross, was sacrificed for our sins, was buried, and rose again. That is the biggest thing that's ever happened in history, nor will ever happen. Preaching is heralding, preaching the gospel, preaching publicly, and house to house. Listen, preaching with conviction, with passion. Visiting with a man yesterday, Eddie and I visited with a man that lost his wife right at the end of February. And, of course, he's still grieving, married to her 56 years, I believe he said. He's still grieving. He said, pray for my preacher. He said he used to preach and walk up and down the aisles and slap the pew and slap the pulpit. And he has a physical disease now that they have to sit him in a chair in front of the podium and he preaches. Listen, a preacher has something to preach with conviction. The preacher knows or should know that he's not dealing with physical ailments. He's dealing with spiritual ailments, and if the spiritual ailment is not healed by the Lord Jesus Christ, that soul will spend an eternity in hell. What we need in the church in America is an uncut, unedited statement of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christianity is not about a little self-improvement. It's about a radically changed life. The gospel is man's sin. And listen, if you're not a sinner, by the way, you could leave now. You don't need to hear this message. Not hear another message ever. But if you're a sinner, if you've ever committed one sin, you've got to realize you're a sinner. And you've got to realize this. Listen to me carefully. Either Christ has paid for your sin and you've accepted that payment and embraced that payment, or you will spend eternity paying for your sin. Now, when you think about it in that context, either I accept His payment and it's paid, or I will spend an eternity paying for it in a burning hell. Man, that's pretty simple, isn't it? Well, why wouldn't a person repent and believe the gospel? I'll tell you why. John 3:19. Because they love their sins. Man's sin, Christ coming, Christ living, Christ dying, Christ being resurrected, Christ ascension, Christ reigning, Christ return. Repent and believe the gospel. That's what preaching is. We are surely living in a time of crisis and confusion. In America, we are very confused. And here's what we're confused about. Is it all about the here and now? And that's all we should live for? Because when I look around me, when a kid looks around him, When a teenager looks around him or a mom looks around her, everybody is living for this life. With no concern, no discussion about eternity. So, really, is there more to it than just this life? Well, the Bible says, if this life is all there is to it, we are to be pitied. Listen, Brother Bob is 85. Donna's dad's 80 and got heart problems. When Donna told me that her dad was 80 and had heart problems, I thought, you know what? I'm 68. In 12 years, I'll be 80. If I live that long. Brother Bob's lived 85 years. That's a pretty long life. Did you know he is going to spend eternity? Take 80 with 10 and add an infinite amount of zeros, and that's eternity. And if that's the case, and that's the truth, and really somewhere in your mind, front, back, side, somewhere in your mind, you believe that to be the case, or you'd be doing what you wanted to today. So what I'm begging you today is, now that you know that, now that you're thinking with the right mind this morning, today is the day to repent and believe the gospel. Today. Kids don't see mom and dad paying any mind to eternity. We talk about church on the way to church. We talk about church when we're arguing about getting ready and going to church. The Bible doesn't guide our home life. It doesn't guide how we act. It doesn't guide our recreation. It's just a Sunday deal. Listen, a Sunday deal, we're talking about eternity. I want you to know there's people searching for a way. They're searching for a compass. They are drifting at sea and lost. No map, no compass, no chart. Listen to me, church. A sudden disaster can happen to anyone at any time. And the problem is that because of their confusion, many are dying and they're unprepared to die. And they're begging that somebody that says that they're a Christian, a follower of Jesus, would talk to them about eternity. And let me tell you where to start. Sit your kids down. Go get pizza if you're not having lunch at the table. Go get pizza. Go get your grandkids. Go get your loved ones. Sit down at the table and tell them that you believe in eternity. You believe that the soul was given from God. It's going to be responsible to God. It's going to spend an eternity in heaven or eternity in hell. And I want to know how I can help you to come to believe that. Listen, our kids need to know from mom and dad that they take religion, Christianity, and eternity, sin, hell, judgment seriously. The Herald did not get up and say, I may have an announcement to make, but I'm not sure. He did not get up and say, we do not know what's really happened or what might take place. The Herald says, listen, I have something to tell you. Preachers have something of substance to tell you. You're a sinner in need of a Savior. I'm certain of that. I'm telling you, if you don't know that we're all sinners, just go into a Sunday school class with 18-month-olds. Yeah, all of you, if you've had a kid, man, I love it. A kid, you know, he's 18 months old and he doesn't get what he wants and he stomps his feet and throws himself on the floor. And then we just grow into bigger fits, don't we? We just grow into bigger sins. So last week we looked at what preaching was. Today we're going to look at what preaching does. And the plan that preaching presents. Okay? What preaching is, what preaching does, and what plan that the preaching brings about. And next week, we're going to look at the plan of God carried out by God acting in history. What God has done is a historical fact. So what preaching does, it announces a plan and a purpose. Y'all with me, church? Listen, if you're not interested in this, I promise you, your kids won't be. I promise you. If you don't sit up in your chair, act like you're glad to be here, your kids won't think it's very serious. So, it announces a plan and a purpose. And where do we find that plan? The plan of salvation is right here. Mark 1, 14 and 15. This is the plan. After John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." That's the plan. Christ has come. He's paid our penalty by living a perfect life. He paid our penalty by being crucified, by taking God's wrath upon Himself. Repent and believe the plan. This time spoken about has come to pass. John 5:25, which you have there in front of you, says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." The time to be born again, the time to repent and believe, that hour, that time, that dispensation is here. So here's the great message of the Bible. God has had a plan and a purpose from the foundation of the world. He has had a plan to deal with the sin and the shame of this world. Listen, we try to do better. We get a better education. We improve our marriage. We go to counseling. We learn how to deal with our issues, sin. Did you know there's one way to deal with sin? Repent, confess, and turn from. Appeal is not the proper way to deal with the sin. A little therapy and learning how to control your anger is not a way to deal with sin, especially the sin of anger. The way to deal with the sin of anger is when you get angry, is to tell God, apologize to others that you got angry, and repent and turn from it. We make all kinds of resolutions, listen to me, and we're still hopeless. We're hopeless without Christ. We're hopeless unless Christ enters into our life and radically changes us. God has a plan to deliver men and women out of lostness and sinfulness into which they have all fallen. We've all fallen. He has a map, a chart, a compass, a direction. He has everything that we need. The time is here. The time to put that plan into operation has come. It has arrived, and we need to believe it and embrace it. 1 Corinthians 2:7 says, "But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God." Listen, when did God decree this? Before the ages, for His glory. This is what preaching is. It is telling the plan of God to save sinful man. Why did Christ leave heaven? There was no other sacrifice that would do. Why did He die on the cross? There was no animal that would pay our penalty like it had to be paid. The Christ man, the God-man, Christ, had to be the perfect sacrifice. He had to pay our sin penalty. Listen, church. We're not living in uncharted times nor uncharted waters. These have been the plan since the foundation of the earth. And the plan to save sinful man, listen, has not changed. Listen to me. If we are still here another 2,000 years, the plan won't change. The plan to take care of sin and to secure our salvation is the same. Repent and believe what Christ did on the cross. God has a plan in which mankind can be delivered out of their failures and sin and be made citizens of the kingdom of God. Did you know that when you become a citizen of the kingdom of God, when this world is over, when this life is over, you have somewhere to go? Into a new kingdom. The kingdom of God. The eternal kingdom. Listen carefully. God's plan is for us to become a part of His earthly kingdom. He wants us to become a part of His kingdom now. This is not our home. We've entered into a new kingdom. Listen, and that kingdom on earth will be the same kingdom that becomes the eternal kingdom in the new heaven and new earth. So, that's what preaching does. It reveals a plan. Now, what does that plan present? What does the plan say? Look at Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, listen to this, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom He also created the world. Jesus Christ is eternal. He is the creator of the world. He's going to redeem the world. Listen, He's going to be our judge. Well, you know, it's really better than that. I don't want to leave out too much. He is the creator. Okay? He came to earth and He took our place. He was our substitute. He was our sacrifice. He was our payment. Okay? He has been resurrected. Not only has He been resurrected, He's ascended. He is on His throne in heaven. He has brought about His earthly kingdom. We're advancing that kingdom. One of these days, He's going to come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's going to come back as our judge. And then He's going to be our eternal King forever in that new heaven and new earth that He creates, where there'll be no possibility of sin. Who are we talking about? The same person, Christ Jesus. The Old Testament reveals the plan. Look at Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. This is called, I'd never seen this word until this week in research, proto-evangelium. Proto-evangelium. This is the first announcement of the gospel. This is the first announcement that one day Satan's head will be crushed and he will be put into the lake of fire on the day of judgment for eternity. But in the process, He's nipping at the heel of Jesus and the heels of Jesus' people. You know what He is? He's a deceiver. He was an angel in heaven. He showed up in the garden as a serpent. Okay, he's a deceiver. And you know what? I want to be careful with this. I don't want Satan, the devil, to get too much credit, because he has been found out and known from eternity. He was kicked out of heaven. Right now, he is here to do all he can. And this is serious stuff. He came to kill, steal, and destroy. You know why he never wants the preacher to say, today is the day that you need to believe in Christ. Today is the day that you need to repent. Because here's what Satan's goal is. To get you to the place that you would never believe in Jesus, never repent, that you might spend an eternity in a burning hell. That's his goal. To see you cast into that lake of fire with him. That's his goal. So, the proto-evangelium, the first announcement of the gospel is, when it was said, there's going to be somebody that comes between man and the devil. And that's the man, Christ Jesus. Genesis 3:21 says, and the Lord God made for Adam and his wife garments of skin and clothed them. You know what this is? This is the first sacrifice. This is the first animal that was sacrificed in the Old Testament to cover their nakedness with clothes, and its shed blood was offered up for their sacrifice. This is the first sacrifice. There were many Old Testament sacrifices. They were all animals. They were never sufficient. They never completed the payment. They were the first sacrifice. John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Jesus is the Lamb of God. And He is the last sacrifice. And we must believe in Him. The plan for God to provide a sacrifice for our sins and a Savior to save us from sin, Satan, and self, that is God acting in history. Repent and believe the gospel. Listen to me. There is no rest to the plan. The plan of God has been revealed. What's going to happen until that moment that we all enter into a new heaven and new earth? It's already been told. Are you with me? We're not waiting for a revealing of the plan. We're not waiting for the rest of the plan to be revealed. Here it is. All this talk about the atomic age and modern science is just nonsense. God's plan is still what it was when He planned it before the foundation of the earth. God's plan is still what it was when Jesus finished the work on the cross. It's the same plan. And listen, we're always finding a way to circumvent God's plan. You know why? Because God's plan and our humbling ourselves and taking hold of that plan is an humbling process. We're proud people. We want to figure out another way to save ourselves. How I did that. God's plan is still what it was when Jesus finished the work. Listen, being able to go to the moon, I just saw this week that we're going to go to the moon and stay. You know, that doesn't excite me much. We split the atom. And you know what? To God, that makes no difference. Because if we've got the ability to do that, where did that ability to do that come from? It comes from God. His character and His plan is still the same. He has revealed His law and the Ten Commandments. Amen. He is a hater of sin. Listen to me carefully. If you've been asleep, now's a good time to wake up. He will punish all sin. He has either punished Jesus with your sins, or you will spend an eternity paying for your sins in hell. James 1:17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." There's no change in the plan, because there's no change in God. There's no change in Christ. There's no change in the Holy Spirit. There's not another change coming for God's Word. Here it is. Now, I want to speak just a little bit about being even stronger, and I'm almost finished. God cannot change. He will not change. There's no requirement for Him to change. He is everlasting. He is unchanging. But you know what the world would say? But man has changed. You know, man's smarter. We know more. All right? Listen to me. They say we're smarter. Really? Smarter? I can promise you, if you go back and read guys in the 1600s, how about John Bunyan? 1300s, go back a little further. Read people in 100 A.D., 200 A.D., and tell me that your vocabulary is better than theirs? Your IQ is higher than theirs? No. Listen carefully now. Very carefully. The world says man has changed. We do know the earth is round. We know that there's something smaller than an atom, right? But really, are people any different? How about this? Are they different morally? Oh, surely we're smarter, we've got more experience. We're not as morally corrupt as we used to be. Well, let me ask you. Do people still murder like Cain did? Do they still drink like Lot and commit incest? Do they still sleep around like David? Uh-huh. Well, surely since we have all this knowledge, we've given up all of these vices, right? No. They're just like they were in Cain and Abel's time. They're just like they were in Lot's time. They're just like they were in David's time. Listen, you know why that's the say? The reason? Because men are born sinful creatures. And only God can fix that. People still love their idols. Come on now. They still love their sins. We have an increased knowledge. Listen to me. And it makes no difference. Men still love darkness because they love their evil deeds. The problem of men and women today is the same as in Genesis, Exodus, 1 Kings, Psalms, Proverbs, the New Testament. We're still sinners. We're still, some woman will say amen to this, we're still selfish men and we're still mean. The problem is and has always been that man is a moral being and the things of this world will not fix a morally corrupt person. Man is dead in trespasses and sins. I got a little book. I'm going to get all of you one.
Ah, well, surely could the pastor
really encourage you or require you to read a little 24-page pamphlet? Would that be outside his scope? Would that be outside his authority? Maybe I need to ask Tom for a little advice, right? Alive or dead? Listen, spiritually, you are one of the other. And tell me how much middle ground there is between alive and dead. None. And if you are dead spiritually, no preacher, Charles Spurgeon, John MacArthur, Alistair Beggs, your favorite, can make you alive. Only God can make a dead man alive. Just because we're in the age of technology and knowledge does not mean that we need something new. Had this discussion last week. Supposedly, we are the most connected, tied together, technologically savvy people in all the world. I mean, if you want to know somebody's business, get on Facebook and they will show you their dirty laundry. Right? But this young person told me, yet we know less real things of substantial substance about people than we've ever known. We go to school with people, we're neighbors with people, we work with people, and we know nothing about them. Listen, we don't need anything new. We just need people praying that more people would find Jesus. Amen? What God has revealed in the past, listen to this now. What God has revealed in the past in His Word is still true and applicable today. God has given His complete revelation. The people to whom it first came, listen, the apostles knew just as much about His Word as we do today. Paul knew just as much about God's Word and God's revelation is the most, the theologian with the most doctoral degrees. Paul knew just as much. Because it's all right here. The people in the future will never know more than the apostles did. You hear me? The people in the future will never know more than Paul knew. According to those that think things are evolving and that things must change with the time, it's crucial that we understand that we do not have more knowledge, spiritual or biblical, than Paul. We know more about Christ than the apostles. That's what some would say. Listen to what the Bible says. The church is built. Look at your scripture, Ephesians 2:20. The church is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. Matter of fact, I wonder how many theologians today would like to get on a stage somewhere and debate the Apostle Paul. How many of them would like to get on the stage with the Apostle Paul and take 10 minutes to go through all the different degrees and dissertations this guy's done and like to take on the Apostle Paul? I wonder how many. So why is that? How in the world could that be? Because God chose these men at a time and a place, and He gave them the revelation. Listen, I'm not waiting for some Tom, Dick, and Harry to get another revelation. Matter of fact, if some Tom, Dick, and Harry tell me he's got another revelation, I'm not listening. He gave them the knowledge then that they needed. Church, listen to me. And that we need today. Because we're in the 21st century and we have all this great depth of knowledge, listen, makes no difference. He took these men, He inspired them, and they accurately recorded His revelation. We're getting it. How many hands? They got it directly from the Holy Spirit. And we have the same access to God's Word through His Word and through the Spirit if we'll just dig in it and pray. He took those men and inspired them, and they accurately recorded His revelation. It's such that even if men live another billion years, they will never know more about God or about Christ or about heaven or about hell or about salvation than they knew when it was revealed to the prophets, than we can know today when we read the Bible with spiritual eyes. He gave His revelation in completeness once and forever. So preaching announces the plan from the foundation of the earth. God knew how He was going to save His people. Listen to me. And it has not changed. Will not change. Jesus coming. Jesus living. Jesus keeping the law. Jesus dying. Jesus resurrected. Ascending and reigning and becoming each one of ours Lord and Savior. That's the plan. Amen? So let me ask you this morning in closing, where is Jesus in your life? What have I told you? You've got to be able to find Jesus in your heart. He lives there, or you're not saved. Romans 8:9. It says, I'm doing a misquote. Romans 8:9, listen to what it says. It says the Spirit Himself, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, Christ Jesus in us through the Spirit. Listen to this now. Listen carefully. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. And if you have the Spirit of Christ, you will know it. Your wife ought to know it. And your co-workers ought to know it. Amen? Because Christ is in you. Mark 1:14 and 15, after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye! Repent you! Listen, repent you today, now, before it's eternally too late. Repent. Because of what Christ has done on the cross, you're willing to say, God, I'm admitting to you I've been living for myself. I've been going my own way. But because of what you've done and who you are, I'm going to turn and begin to live for you. I tell you, without a turn, without a change of direction, without a change of thought, without a change of mind, there is no salvation. Repentance is required. Repent! It's first. Every time you see repent and believe the gospel, guess what's first? Repent! Repent! A change of direction, a change of mind. If it hasn't happened in your life, you're not saved. Repent! There are some things you've been doing, and we could go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, the sexually immoral, the liars, the thieves, the adulterers, all of those kind of people. You must quit that kind of living and change your life and begin to give up your sins and live for God. Why must you hate your sins? Why must you stop your sins? Because the sins that you're committing are the same sins that caused Christ to die on the cross. Repent. And believe the gospel. What is the gospel? Christ was the Creator. Christ came from heaven. He came and dwelt among us. He took upon flesh. He kept the law. He lived in perfect obedience and perfect actions towards God the Father. Because He was the perfect sacrifice, He took your place. He was your substitute. He got where you and I deserve to be. He was our sacrifice. He was put in the tomb. He was there Friday night, all day Saturday, Sunday morning He arose. And He arose, and by His resurrection, you have been made righteous. And God says, because I've accepted His payment for you, I'm going to resurrect Him. Listen, He didn't just hang around here a few hours and then go back to heaven. After His resurrection, He was seen for 40 days by over 500 people. He left here. He went up in the clouds. He is at the right hand of the Father. He's on His throne. He's interceding for you today. And He's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you got to believe that. Listen to me. Not an attender. Not just a member. Not just baptized. Not a Christian. Not a believer. Not saved, whatever that might mean. None or all of that. But you know and can say, I'm a dedicated, devoted follower of Jesus. That is what a Christian was in those days. God doesn't change. God doesn't change. Oh, listen. His requirements are different today. I think the Scripture says, take up your cross daily and follow me. Churchmen, deacons, elders, teachers, baptized twice, evangelists who are not dedicated, devoted followers of Jesus are lost. So you know how to pray for yourself? You know how to pray for your loved ones? And listen, don't be ashamed to pray. You don't have to tell them you think they're lost, but you can surely pray for them. Amen. And hey, if they ask you, I'm going to give you a word for you. I'll tell you this. Just hang on just a second. Okay? Put all your trust in the work of Christ on the cross for your salvation. Listen, your salvation is free. It is without works. It's without earning because it cost God the Father and Jesus so much. How many of you would come up here today? How many would you come up here today and say, I'll give my firstborn for the world? That's what Christ did. Not only the firstborn, but the firstborn God in the flesh, Christ Jesus. He gave Him for us. But listen, salvation is free. It's by grace. You can't earn it. You've just got to believe and receive it. Take hold of it. Listen, not tomorrow, not next Sunday, today. Listen, giving myself, listen to me, lock, stock, and barrel to live for Him and to honor Him. That's what a Christian does. Because they know what Christ has saved them from. You know our little church covenant? That today, I'm going to live for God's glory. I'm going to live by His commandments. I'm going to strive to love Him with all my heart, soul, and mind. And I'm going to work in His church to advance His kingdom that more lost people might be saved. Listen. If you're saved, I pray that you would show yourself a sign. Y'all with me? If you're saved, live your life in such that it looks like you're saved. Come on, church. If you're living your life and it looks like everybody else that you're going to school with and working with, and hang with, you're probably not saved. Show me a sign. Show yourself a sign. Show yourself for your assurance that you're a follower of Jesus. And listen to me. And we sang it. Surrender all. Surrender your heart and life to Christ right now. Before you leave here. I'm not going to the back. I'm going to sit down in a chair up here. And if you've never repented from going your direction, turned from your sins, if you've never believed in Christ, if you've never committed your life to Christ, do it today, right now, before you leave. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, that by Your Word and by Your Spirit, that You would do today what only You can do. That You would make a dead man alive. That You would give them the ability to repent. To turn from the things they love. To turn from their direction. And turn to You for forgiveness. And turn to You to live for You. And believe that You died on the cross for their sins. I pray that by Your Spirit and by Your Word that today someone would be converted. Lord, we love You. We praise You. And it's in Jesus' name that we do. Amen.